The date was December 21st, 2014. That's right, today. The place is Winnipeg. Our world is changing all around us at an incredibly alarming rate. And it made me think this past week of all those everyday items that have almost become extinct in our society that were so useful a decade ago. I went on search for some of them and decided I can't bring them all up, so I'll only bring up one. Phone books. People are using the web for phone numbers. They have their cell phones. They're all programmed into their home phones. Nobody needs a phone book anymore. Lickable stamps. Some of you are going, what's a lickable stamp? I'm grateful for this change. They were horrible tasting. Foldable maps. When was the last time you used a foldable map? Well, thanks to Google Maps and GPS and MapQuest and all those other things, they're mostly a thing of the past. How about this? A floppy disk. This one can hold almost an entire half of an MP3 song. That's right. Cassettes. Did you know that sales in cassettes went from a high of 500 million, so 500 million in 1990, to just under 200,000 in 2013. Apparently, they made a surge in 2013. Not sure why. How about payphones? Payphones used to be found everywhere. They'd have banks of them at the mall. They'd be on almost every other street corner. Go ahead and try and find one now. And if you do find one, they're 50 cents. How, and they don't work. No comment on that one. How about a VHS and a VCR to record your favorite shows? When was the last time you did that, huh? Some of us still have them. Some of them still work. And this one, film for your camera. How many of you even remember? Was it better to have 200 or 400 ISO film? Do you even know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. Our world is changing around us. Things that were so important to us 10 years ago, we don't need anymore. Anybody want a floppy disk? I've got about 50 of them in my desk, apparently. Went searching for one, found a whole box of them. This is my backup license from, well, a while ago. With Christmas in just a few days, retail analysts have identified one sector of the market that is emerging this shopping season. It is growing like crazy. According to the Consumer Electronics Association, 85% of adults intend to purchase some type of technology for their loved ones. It's amazing how much technology is becoming the thing that you all want. In fact, that's the highest it's ever been. 85% of people are purchasing technology. Whatever happened to mitts and socks? It's the only time of year you ever buy them, right? And you get, but not anymore. As society moves away from worshiping God, they want to spend more. They want to give less. In fact, there was a poll in the Free Press this week online asking how much you give to charity. Do you give nothing? Do you give under $50? Do you give up to $100? Or do you give more than $100? And sadly, the results of the poll, there was 3,000 and something that gave a response to that poll. less than one quarter give more than $100 to any charity. Folks, as our society is moving away from worshiping and wants to spend more on me, not me personally, but spend more on me, they want to give less because they love only themselves. Yet at its heart, Christmas means that no matter what else will disappear in the next decade, God's love will last forever. Because of the Christmas story is saturated with the supernatural, some of us miss the meaning because we just skim over it on a superficial level. The news about Jesus becoming a man is so incredible that only angels could be entrusted as an appropriate messenger. No earthly channels of communication or any type of technology could be relied upon to get this incredible message out, because no human person could possibly be persuasive enough. Now I want to quickly take a look at the angels in the field this morning. We see the angels and how they love praising their Savior. Luke chapter 2 verse 8 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they rejoiced." Not a chance. They were terrified. In the midst of the mundane, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared into the darkness of that silent night. Came the brightness of the glory of the Lord. And I'm sure the shepherds were standing back. They were rubbing their eyes. They were, "What is going on?" They were shaking in their sandals. In fact, the word terrified means that they were alarmed and agitated. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid." And the reason that they did not need to be afraid is because this messenger was bringing good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David is a Savior who's been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. A manger of all things. A manger. The shepherds were told to go find a manger. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. Go find the manger, and in that manger is going to be something far more valuable than hay for your sheep or feed. There's something that's going to feed all nations. And as the shepherds are trying to handle this message from this one messenger, they're taken back again because suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Suddenly, it tells us that the heavenly host came unexpectedly and without warning. A great company. A great company says that there were so many of them it was impossible to count. And these heavenly hosts are in reference to the Lord's army. This is his army of angels who have come to announce this incredible birth. The birth of the Savior. And the shepherds watched as the heavens opened up and literally saw an entire militia of messengers. Hundreds and thousands of angelic warriors worshiping God. Now, first of all, angels love praising the Savior. But they also love to peer into salvation. Did you know that angels are very curious about Christmas? In fact, they have studied salvation and they're stunned by it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12 says that even angels long to look into these things. And it's likely that they're sitting on the edge of their seats, peering over the railing to watch and to see what is going to happen next. To see how the drama and how the sacrifice of the Son solves this sin problem for these people on this planet. And this phrase is in the present tense, which means that they are still studying salvation right here and now. There's an audience of angels watching to see what your response is going to be today. Angels don't understand everything about forgiveness because they can't experience it. But my guess is that they're dumbfounded when people deny or doubt or just get complacent about the coming of Christ. Angels love praising the Savior. They love peering into salvation, and they love partying. They love to party when sinners are saved. You see, when you turn from the path that you've been on and you receive all that Jesus has for you, Luke 15 tells us that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. The angels are ready to throw a party on your behalf, but you must first receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And at the heart of Christmas is a gift heralded by the angels. It is a present that must be received, a gift that must be opened, and when it is, rejoicing breaks out in the heavenly realms. And when you stop to really think about it, Christmas is all about a strange and awesome love. Love has everything to do with Christmas because that's what's behind the sending of the Savior to the planet. The planet with people. The planet with people that sin. Because love came down at Christmas. I want to share some Christmas truth that can revitalize your life. There's not one person in this auditorium today that is not loved by God. God loves you with an out of this world kind of love. You can't do anything to earn it. You can't do anything to get more of it. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you're thinking about doing, because as we all know of the Christmas story, God has this weird people thing going on. He loves us. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him." This is strange, yet it's awesome. Because God Himself, the Creator of the universe, the one who spoke the stars into being, who put this planet into place, who formed man out of mud, breathed His life into man, loves you. He loves you. Max Lucado says, "There's nothing that you can do to make God love you any more than He already does, and there is nothing you can do to make Him love you any less than He already does." Because God's love for us is unconditional and absolute, even though we're odd creatures. Folks, God loves you just the way you are, and He doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to change. He wants you to start loving Him back. No matter what else will disappear in the next decade, God's love will last forever. One of the most amazing verses that speaks of this strange and awesome love is John 3:16. In fact, this verse is pure genius. So let's soak into this verse. Let's just listen to this verse. It is so incredible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And when we look at this verse, there's two parts to this verse. Two very distinct parts. The first part is God giving. And the second part is our receiving. God loved the world so much that he gave his Son. That's the birth of Jesus. God loves, therefore he gave. It always begins with God. He created everything. It began with him. He loved us. Man, he loved us and gave us a wife. It began with God. He created us. He saw that we needed a Savior because we sinned. We turned our back on him. And so God sent us a Savior. What we needed, he gave. It all starts with God. He gave his only Son. And the second half explains the why behind the giving of the Son. That whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. That's the second birth. We believe, therefore we live. In the Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sings, one line really stands out to me. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Just as each of us have been born once physically, we need to be born spiritually. As John records Jesus saying, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. See, the angels praised when Christ was born, and right now they're peering out of that heavenly realm and watching over that railing to see what will happen right here, right now. When some of you are receiving the gift of salvation, when you do, they will throw a party on your behalf. They rejoiced at the birth of Christ, and they're going to explode with joy when one sinner repents. Let me ask you a question. Is it easier to give gifts or to receive them? Let's see a show of hands. All those in favor of giving? All those in favor of receiving? I see. It's hard for some of us to receive a gift from God. Because quite honestly, many of us don't think that we've earned it. Or we somehow don't deserve it. John chapter 6 says this. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, Christmas truly becomes Christmas when we truly receive what Christmas offers. His Son, a Savior. I'm going to demonstrate this best as I can. I've got a present. I've got a present here, and it's for somebody. Who wants it? James. All right, hang on. James, if you really want this gift, what do you got to do?
Thank you for it.
You got to thank me for it? Okay, you're welcome. What else?
Praise God.
Okay. No. What? Help him out here. What does he have to do to get this gift? His what? take it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have to take it.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome. You need to take and receive the gift. If he didn't take that and I was still standing here holding it, I can say the gift is for James all I want. Doesn't do him any good. Good luck getting into that, by the way. No. No, it's a gift that I'm sure you all want, a Maranatha pen. God's love will last forever. But you must respond and receive his love before you die, or you will live without his love for eternity in a place called hell. Listen again to John 3:16. Well, I emphasize just one phrase. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You probably didn't come to a Christmas service hoping that you would hear about hell. But I must tell you about it instead of being silent and wondering if you'll end up going there. The verse that we all know, shall not perish, doesn't stop there. It keeps going on. It was just some guy who put in numbers to break it up. But I love John 3:17 as much as I love John 3:16, because it shows that God doesn't want us to be condemned this Christmas. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's all about saving people. That's why he sent his Son. John 3:18 reinforces the necessity of belief as a way to avoid condemnation. It says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Folks, that means in order to go to hell, you simply have to do nothing. You're already going. The gift of a Savior is for sinners. Look at the person next to you. He or she is a sinner. The person sitting next to him or her, well, that's you. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We are all sinners condemned to die. And that sweet baby in the cradle came as our sin substitute on the cross. And that is God's love for us that made all of this happen. Jesus came to die for you in your place, to pay the price for your sins. Because at the center of Christmas is the cross. The cross of salvation. There's a wonderful word found in both John 3:16 and John 3:18. And it's the word whoever. Jesus can save no matter who you are or what you've done. It doesn't matter that it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what your denominational background is. You could be Free Church and he loves us. You could be Baptist and he loves you. You could be Mennonite. You could be whatever. It doesn't matter. He loves you. If you've never been to church before, God loves you. And if I am right, there's bound to be one person here today who needs to hear this more than anyone else, because they haven't made that decision yet. So the rest of you, you can listen into this conversation I'm having with this one person. Try to forget about whoever it is that prompted you to come, or anybody else sitting around you. Just as the angels want good seats, well, that's what the rest of us are here for, good seats. This is between you and God. I know you're a sinner. I know that you can't save yourself and that you're ready to not just believe in Christmas, but to actually receive Christ this Christmas. And I'm going to give you the ABCs on how to do that. You need to admit that you're a sinner. You've done things wrong. You're not perfect. You need to believe and receive Jesus Christ into your life. That's the A and the B. It's that simple. And if you're ready, I want you to pray this prayer that I'm going to pray right now, and then I'll explain the C. If you've already received Jesus, would you pray for those around you that may not have? God, thank you for demonstrating your love by sending Jesus at Christmas. As a great gift, I feel unworthy. I admit that I'm a sinner. And with your help, I will turn from the way that I have been living. I understand that Jesus came to in a cradle in order to die on a cross for my sins. I thank you that he was raised from the dead to give me new life. And now I transfer my trust to him. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. I believe and I want to receive Jesus Christ into my life. And if there's anything in my life that you want to get rid of, do it. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The C of the ABC, we need to admit that you're a sinner. You need to believe and receive Jesus Christ into your life. But the C is to confess Jesus Christ to others. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, tell somebody. I'm not going to make you stand. I thought about it. I even wrote it down here. Do you have the courage to stand? But I don't want to do that. I want you to turn to the person who brought you or this person sitting next to you. Give them a thumbs up. On your way out of the door today, let me know that you prayed that prayer. Confess it to others. Start telling others that you right now are identifying yourself with Jesus Christ this Christmas. Biblically understood, love is not just a feeling that fades in and out. Rather, love is an action. More specifically, it's a commitment. And as I wrap it up today, it wouldn't be right for us to just soak in God's love and not be moved into action. 1 John 3 says, "And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son Jesus and to love one another as he commanded us." God deserves and God desires and demands our best. Therefore, Christmas, this Christmas, let's be conduits of his compassion to those around us. Anybody ever re-gifted anything? I don't need to show a, see your hands. I've done it. I want to encourage you to re-gift the gift of Jesus. Once you believe and receive the gift of him, tell others. Here are three ways to do that. To love the unlovely. Sorry for the horrible term, but love all. Who do you just walk by? Is there someone at work or at school that you just ignore? Step out of your comfort zone. Step out of your clique and actually go talk to that person. Show someone that they need your love. Forgive the unforgivable. If we ignore the unlovely, then we avoid the unforgivable. Is there any friction going on in your family? Is there someone that you need to forgive? You may be thinking they don't deserve it. You're right, they don't. But you know what? You don't either. But God forgave you. And because no one deserves forgiveness, and God gave it, He's asking us to do the same. Set them free this Christmas. Set yourself free this Christmas. Can you give forgiveness because of what God has given to you? Lift up the down and out. It's time for us to lift up those who are down and out by reaching out to the hungry and the thirsty, the cold and the sick, the imprisoned. Matthew 25 says that Jesus, He takes these acts of compassion very personally. For when we minister to the least of these, we minister to Him. So this Advent season, we've been challenged to worship fully, to spend less on excess, to give more to those in need, to love all unconditionally. And here's the final challenge. What if we started to care for those in need that stretched beyond the days in December? What if we resisted the empire of consumerism and became content all year long? What if the story of Jesus coming down compels us to love those living on the margins of life? What if we live out our faith in our families? What if Christmas was no longer about stuff, but about the Savior? Can you live like that? Are you up for this challenge? Because I believe that you are. Because no matter what disappears over the next decade, God's love will last forever. So let's not just celebrate this Christmas. Let's be Christians 365 days a year. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your gift that you sent your Son into the world, that we might be saved, that whoever believes in you should not perish. Thank you so much for that. We thank you for your incredible love, and our words just aren't enough to express how much we need your love. And so we praise your name and we thank you this day for your most incredible, incredible love. This we pray. Amen.